Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk Talk here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk 2 Self Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jojoba Maria Ensoroma. And for this month, all month long, I have been talking about and teaching about worthiness as essential for a high quality of life. I've shared wisdom and insights on the importance of believing you are worthy of the power of forgiveness, the joy of inner peace, the valuing of your life, and the knowing of your higher purpose. Tonight, in light of the events that are going on around this country right now, I'm going off script to integrate my spiritual insights for miraculous change in response to these nationwide protests. They're also happening around the world, of another Black person in America being killed, and to support the understanding that this current collective response to racially motivated violence is an evidence of the jump into higher consciousness by humanity. So, as always, I always open up my shows first by honoring the ancestors, and I'm even going to do that a little different tonight. I want to actually share a bit of Black history, because today is Memorial Day, officially. And we did not get taught in school about how the true story of how Memorial Day started. So I wanted to share that with you, and in honor both of those ancestors who started it. And of course, what Memorial Day is about is remembering and honoring all the ancestors who participated in the wars that we've had in this country. And so the story of how Memorial Day starts really is about the Civil War, which ends in April, officially. And in May, on May 1st, a group of freedmen and women from Charleston, South Carolina, decided that they needed to honor the Union soldiers who had been held as prisoners at the racetrack in town and who had been put into a mass grave. And so over a two-week period, they worked to uncover those bodies, you can imagine that, and to put them in what's called proper burial. And this gesture of gratitude, this gesture of humanity caught the attention of the Union soldiers and even some of the rebel soldiers and of the people in the town. And so what ends up happening is they actually do this celebration, which later gets called Decoration Day. And let me read to you from my research that I did. It says that the freedmen cleaned up and landscaped the burial ground, building an enclosure and an ark labeled Martyrs of the Racecourse. Nearly 10,000 people, wow, mostly freedmen and women, gathered to commemorate the war dead. And this involved about 3,000 Black school children who were newly enrolled in freedmen's schools, mutual aid societies, Union troops, Black ministers, and white Northern missionaries. Most brought flowers released on the burial field. And years later, as I said, it would be called the first Decoration Day. After the dedication, there were, you know, priests and stuff who talked and, you know, did all their speeches. The crowds gathered at the race course. And they did picnic, yeah, around the grounds and into the afternoon, it says. A full brigade of Union infantry, including the colored troops, as they were called at the time, the Black troops, and they marched in a double column around the martyrs' graves and held a drill on the infield of the race course. The war was over, and Memorial Day had been founded by Black Americans in a ritual of remembrance and consecration. The site today is used as Hampton Park. And I first learned about this in 2012 in a film that was done on public television by Rick Burns called Death and the Civil War. And he did this film, the documentary, based on a book that had come out, was a bestseller by the then first female president of Harvard University. Her name is Drew Gilpin Faust. And her book was called The Republic of Suffering. Yeah. There's also this Yale professor who's gotten a Pulitzer Prize for his work on the life of Frederick Douglass. His name is Dwight W. Blight. And he did a book called Race and Reunion, Civil War in American Memory. So anyway, that's some of the places that you can find some of more information about this. But I think, it, especially in terms of what's happening right now in this country, it's such a significant story because it's again, just a testament to how Black people in America, despite the horrors of slavery, despite everything they went through, have always wanted to be contributors to this country, to have a home, and to have a community. And so we are so grateful for those ancestors. We thank them. You know, Memorial Day became official through the one of the generals in the Union Army who had been at this celebration and who then declared, yeah, we need to be doing this every year around this time. So, again, thanks to the ancestors. Like I said, I'm off script because I can tell you that yesterday I really wasn't even sure that I could be emotionally grounded enough to come on and do a broadcast. I was feeling a combination of deep grief and deep rage, like deep rage. And I am a fire person, so yeah, this was like volcanic fire going on in me. And I really had to, you know, work through it. I had to work through that pain. I'm so glad I did, though. I'm so glad I allowed myself to feel it because the violence in this country is so frequent that it's very easy to be numbed by it. And I'm so glad that that didn't happen. I'm so glad that I didn't say, oh, okay, yeah, another Black man got killed and people are protesting and let me just do my show. I'm so glad that I was like, I don't know if I can do my show. I have to say to my technicians, I texted them yesterday, I mean, emailed them yesterday and said, y'all might have to do a rebroadcast because I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm grounded enough, you know. But thank goodness I did get grounded, and my God reminded me that I have a platform and my job is to be a light and to be a beacon. So I want to talk to you just about some truths. I want to talk to you about this bigger experience for us as humans that's going on, that I think the death of George Floyd is clearly connected to. And so let me just start off by going back to the beginning of the year when I shared my annual New Year's message and I talked about the Pluto-Saturn conjunction in the sign of Capricorn and that this astrological celestial event had not happened in 500 years. And that the last time it happened, there was a huge reform within the Catholic Church, and that's how you begin to get these offshoots of the Christian religion, like Lutheran and Methodist and so on. Now, that's for the Western world. So this big shift in the Western world that happened, I'm sure there were shifts in other parts of the world, but in the Western world. It also was a time when this conjunction happened that the Atlantic slave trade actually gets sanctioned because it's when the King of Spain says to the Portuguese sailors and the Spanish sailors, oh, yeah, you can take those slaves over to the Americas. We won't stop you from doing that. And so that's when it really, really begins to kick off. So you have this energy from, you know, Saturn and Pluto coming together, which is about things being shifted where, you know, old things getting broken up and then new things beginning that are going in. And both of these things will have an impact, a lasting impact on people's consciousness and on people's lives. So at the beginning of the year, I knew that this shift energy was definitely going to be very, very prominent in ways that we wouldn't be able to ignore it. And of course, one of the first things that happens is coronavirus shows up in March. And it fits into what, the Jupiter-Pluto conjunction is talking about in Capricorn. And it's important in Capricorn because Capricorn represents, structures and governments and, systems. And so when you have these two planets of Saturn and Pluto and what they represent, like Saturn's all about the rules and getting things in order and following the rules and discipline, but Pluto is like, oh no, we're gonna tear this stuff down. Pluto's all about death and rebirth. So all of that, it makes sense that coronavirus would show up and do what it is done and is doing, because remember, we're not out of the pandemic yet, and I don't care how much opening up people are doing right now in the United States and other parts of the world, as long as we still have people who are struggling with very high numbers, and we really still are too. I don't know why they keep downplaying that, but I know like in Milwaukee numbers are going up. But definitely in Brazil it's a big problem, and Spain's having problems. So anywhere in the world where people are still having problems, including here, that means the pandemic is still going. We're not done yet. We're not out of it. And I think that's a piece too that was so breaking my heart over these protests, because the people who are protesting are really taking a risk of getting sick because they're in close proximity and there's yelling going on, and you know anything about the science of coronavirus, it travels on the air, it travels on the wind, and also for the policemen involved too, they're very much at risk. So it's just very, very, very sad and heartbreaking that it has to come to this. But again, in terms of what this energy is, of breaking up the old and making way for the new, unfortunately, it does make sense that this is happening. The beginning of the year, I talked about, how to put that shift into, how to personalize it. Like, what does that mean for me? What can shift for me? How can I participate in this global shift in humanity? And I talked about three things that I saw were very evident and important and for shifting. One is that we needed to shift away from being consumers of the earth to stewards of the earth. And that's something that coronavirus really did bring, because when everything had to stop, we were not out there buying and shopping in the way that we did. And yeah, online stuff was still happening, but definitely not to the degree that we had been before. And so there's been a lull in our consumerism, and it's something that we all needed to know could really happen, but it's something we need to really not have to have a disease to come and tell us it needs to happen. We need to take that on ourselves. The next one is we need to go from being mindless workers to mindful contributors. Coronavirus, again, brings a lot of pain to people who are just living their life from paycheck to paycheck, who are just seeing their existence as being, I got to go to work so that I can survive. And the shift in human consciousness is asking us to step out of being robots. The police who are doing their job out of fear, who are being brutal, they're just mindless workers. They're not being mindful of what it really means to be a law enforcer, someone whose job it is to protect the community, not act like an assassin. And so to become a mindful contributor, to bring your humanity into your workplace, that's what we are being asked to do. That's what needs to happen. And then the third one is about being compliant to the old and moving out of that to become a creator of the new. So anyone who's thinking that, coronavirus came and it's just another flu and we'll get through this and over it and we'll get back to business as usual. No, We're in the middle of a huge shift. So there is no getting back to usual. And if you are going to be compliant with the old systems, the old energies, the old ways of doing and being, if you're going to be compliant with white supremacy, or even the reaction, the violent reaction to white supremacy, it's not going to be a good day. And to create a new way of being and a new way of doing things, both from a practical level but also from a social level, because the reality is that, you know, white supremacy died the day that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama and their children crossed the threshold of the White House. This is white supremacy gone, right? So why is it Make America Great Again, right? Why is that coming up? And, of course, that's because that's a reaction, of course, that people who are unconsciously rooted in that system, and it is a system. It wasn't born in the United States. It comes from Europe. It goes back to the feudal system. Yeah. And so it's not something that, you know, can easily be erased, but it definitely can't be erased if people aren't willing to be truthful about its existence and their participation in it. And so, you know, it's like we're moving away from this, what is called ethnocentric thinking. That means where I only feel safe and identify with people who look like me, sound like me, talk like me, walk like me, right? Because the reality is we're in a pluralistic society. You know, I mean, one of the major phrases, right, about the United States is e pluribus unum, out of the many one. So right there, it's saying that we are made up of a diverse population, a diverse way of seeing things and looking at things, and trying to make, you know, just one way be the only way doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. It's not the reality that we're living in. And so, you know, this shift energy has come to really open us up to moving out of ethnocentric thinking and move into what's called pluralistic views, and ultimately into world-centric thinking, meaning that this isn't just about the United States. I can't tell you how angry I get when I hear reporters, when I hear the President of the United States treat this pandemic as if it's only happening to North America. You know, we're connected by land to Central and South America. We're a continent. We're connected by land to Canada. So why aren't we talking about what's happening there, and why aren't we working together as a continent, like what they're doing in Africa? Why aren't we working together to address this? What's that about? Yeah. So, you know, we have to move out of, you know, what used to be, really never was, but we have to move out of these old ways of thinking about our reality and step into what the reality really is. Yeah. I wanted to share that, you know, I think if we can remember, if you can remember that what's going on right now is a shift into higher consciousness, and that it is designed to get us to be in the reality of our existence and to live, you know, the words that were written in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of this country. And with everyone around the globe wanting freedom, wanting their freedom, and wanting to be honored and respected for the truth of who they are and treated like a human being. Because that's the other thing, you know, what's happening here in the United States around racism and biasness, it's not just here. This is a global problem. And I think that, you know, Black people in America have a history of kind of being the light post, if you will, for what's going on around the world. And that's why you have right now people in Berlin outside the U.S. embassy shouting Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. So in places around the world, people get it. Like, this is not okay. We need to move out of, you know, our totalitarian mindset, out of our feudalistic mindset about, you know, who is human and who is not, and begin to really learn how to honor people as human beings, to value people as human beings, and what that really means. So I wanted to just say again that, you know, you got to look for hope. That's what I had to do yesterday. I had to open up and look for hope. I had to say, okay, God, this is happening for a reason. And so give me some sign, give me some hope around this so that I can share that with my audience. And as God, the ancestors always do, they did provide me with something that I want to share with you. And I normally don't go on Facebook before I broadcast. But I did today because I needed to shift up what I had given as a description for my show today. And I wanted for people to know that, no, I was going to be going off script and really addressing this this pain in a way that that I could. And so in that process of being on Facebook, as I was just about to close off of it, a call came in from my friend Juanita Roberson. And she said, did you see it? Did you see it? I said, what? She said, there are police that are being in support of the protesters. And I'm like, what? And sure enough, she had posted on her page, and I did take time to post it on mine. And I want to share with you, she shared, definitely you can go on Facebook and you can look it up. You can find it on Facebook. You can Google it and you'll see. This is coming from an article from Forbes magazine. It was very interesting. Yeah. And it says, you know, that the policemen are, in spite of the, you know, violence that is happening, that there are policemen who are, you know, some being supportive of the protesters. And so let me just share with you, because to me this is evidence that we are shifting into a higher consciousness. This is from in Flint, Michigan. The Genesee County Sheriff, Chris Swanson, was seen telling protesters before he joined the assembled crowd to march, "We want to be with y'all for real. I took my helmet off, laid the batons down. I want to make this a parade, not a protest." Officers in Camden, New Jersey, helped carry a banner reading, "Standing in Solidarity," and seemed to join in with the crowd chanting, "No peace, no justice." In Santa Cruz, California, the police chief, Andy Mills, took a knee with protesters in the pose made famous by Colin Kaepernick, with the department tweeting it was in memory of George Floyd and bringing attention to police violence against Black people. Two Kansas City, Missouri police officers, one white, one Black, were photographed holding aloft a sign reading, "End Police Brutality." In Fargo, North Dakota, an officer was seen clasping hands with protest organizers while holding up a sign reading, "We are one race, the human race." Officers in Ferguson, Missouri, participated in a 9.5-minute kneel in Floyd's memory, with cheers erupting from the crowd. And, of course, despite these moments of solidarity, conflict did break out between protesters and police in Kansas City, Fargo, and Ferguson. And as I talk to you now, police in Santa Monica, in their efforts to break up the crowd that gathered to protest at the Santa Monica Pier, used tear gas, rubber bullets, and other means that just has caused now you know, a lockdown. We're in, what do they call it? I can't think. My mind is blank. But anyway, and we're shut down. We can't go outside. Curfew, that's it. We're in curfew now at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. But the fact that these situations happened and that were reported, that people were sharing, that these police officers found their humanity, took the moment to treat the protesters not like, again, they are disposable, but really got why these people were out protesting and why they're so angry. That's very hopeful to me. That makes such a difference. That says that, you know, if they can do that, they can do more. Like, really come up with ways to address police brutality, to, you know, figure out how to get the police to really be, you know, protectors in the community. There's a lot of work to be done, but I do believe that everything that's happening right now is going to open a way for some new things to happen. And, you know, while white supremacy, of course, still is something that people want to hold on to. For example, you know, in the midst of all this, with coronavirus and these protests around a black man being killed, there was a space launch yesterday that was successful today. They made it to the space station. And this is now, you know, NASA partnering with private industry. And it was very interesting to me that, you know, when NASA, before NASA this, when you would see what was happening with the astronauts and stuff, you'd see quite a diversity. You'd see women, you'd see some black people, you'd see Latino people, Asian people, you know, you'd see diversity. There was no diversity in this. It was all white males. And from the astronauts, from the people who were, like, preparing the ship, to the men at Houston behind the panels, to the Congress people who were there to talk to the astronauts, it was just, you know, totally, totally absent diversity. So it's just very interesting to me that, you know, there's this stuff going on of, you know, humans getting, you know, out into space and trying to make that something that's going to be more typical, more normal, that they can create that, think of that. But yet, you know, back here on Earth, you know, all the system stuff is that it's not working and people are responding to that. So if we can figure out SpaceX sending people up to the space station, we should be able to figure out our social issues. It's time. It's time. And, you know, addressing coronavirus isn't just about getting a vaccine. It really is about addressing poverty, especially when you have evidence that, you know, the people who, a majority of people who are living in poverty, like black people in America, are the ones who are dying at a faster rate. So I am going to come to a close, and I want to just share this little bit of information around coronavirus because I think it's important. I just got hold of a really good article from National Public Radio, and I will put a link for this in my video. But I thought this was a really good thing. And what they did is this article is about, you know, now that the summer's coming, the weather's warmer and more opening up is happening, what transmission risk? And so they've broken out these identified transmission risk factors to help people better able decide, you know, should I do this or should I not? Because the reality is, like I said, we're still in the midst of a pandemic. And so anytime you venture out of your home, you're taking a risk. but how can you minimize that is what this article is about. And so these professors that they talked to have been working on this, and they came up with these really cool catchphrases. So here's the thing to think about and when you're thinking about risk, which is time, space, people, place. Time, space, people, place, meaning how much time you spend, the space that you're in, how big or little it is, how many people are around, and in terms of the place, is this a place that, you know, is conducive or not to the spread of the disease? So they say choose outdoors over indoors, masking over not masking, and more space with fewer people versus a smaller place with a lot of people. So, again, I'll leave the link for that in my video. I'll also post it on my Wisdom Walk radio page because I think it's very important that people stay aware. We're not out of the pandemic. People are still dying every day. And the way to help virus really get under control is to really take the safety precautions and know how to either limit or eliminate your risk. You know, the way to eliminate it is, again, keep staying at home. But if you go out, do it in a very conscious and thoughtful manner. So I want to close out with thanking, of course, my wonderful, wonderful engineers and colleagues at Black Hole Radio Be Well. They were so supportive of me as I was whining yesterday. I really was. I was melting down and whining. I don't know if I can do this. And they were so willing to support me and say, hey, you need to do a rebroadcast, go right ahead. So Yvette, Forrest, thank you and the entire team so much for your continued support of me doing my work. This is my 7th year anniversary doing these weekly broadcasts, and I am so grateful to have been involved with you for as long as I have, and I hope that we continue on until infinity, or at least until I'm dead. I also want to do a shout out to my number one fan, Ms. Sarah. Oh my God, Miss Sarah just so gets it. She's been around for 95 years, so she's seen a lot, and Miss Sarah gets it, let me tell you. And when I shared with her about, I found these pictures of policemen kneeling and asking for forgiveness from the protesters and holding up signs, tears came to her eyes, because she gets it. She really gets it. So, Sarah, thank you. Love your heart. Love your heart. Such a big heart. To all those who have wisdom walk with me and you know who you are, to my family and spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, those who may be listening or watching for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you. I couldn't do this without your presence and your energy. And though I can't see you in person, physically, I feel like from Romper Room, those of you of my age remember Romper Room, and she would hold up her magic mirror and she would say, call out names of people, like, and you always were listening to, can she see me? Can she see my name? Yeah. So I'm holding up my magic mirror and seeing all of you and thanking you for your love and support. Next week, I'm going to introduce my new theme for June, which is Clean Up Transferred Pain. Yeah. I just want to say that I know that this is not over, what is happening in this country around the reaction to the death of George Floyd. If you haven't seen Trevor Noah's comments about this, do on YouTube, because it's very powerful, very wonderful, and gets you to understand that this is a domino effect. This has been coming, and so it's not something that's going to, you know, just stop overnight. And my big prayer is that we stay hopeful and that we really know that there can be a shift that happens just in this area because of this bigger shift that is going on for the planet, for the globe. I pray for all of the families who have lost people in such a horrible way, racial injustice. I pray for all the people who are protesting. I pray for all the policemen who are involved. And I pray for all the people who aren't yet able to understand how what is happening is the result of a lower consciousness. And I pray that they get that we are in a time to grow our consciousness, to become part of the reality of the world that we are living in. It is a multiverse. It is multicultural. It is multidimensional. It is multi-intelligent. And it's time for us to really accept that, embrace that, and live that. Have a healthy and safe week as much as you can. Allow yourself to feel the grief, but don't act on it. Allow yourself to feel the anger. Don't act on it. Just let yourself feel it. Let it flow through. And then do something creative. Do something supportive with that energy. And I look forward to connecting with you through my next broadcast and video. And I, again, just say prayers for this country, for the world, that we turn the corner and begin to value each other as human beings. Good night now. I don't think I did one word of what I...
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.